Good morning and good morning to all those who are out there in AI land, who chose to stay home instead of fellowship. Hallelujah. Who chose their families instead of presence of God. Hello, hopefully you're watching and getting convicted. Hallelujah. Have fun chasing Easter eggs. Praise God. It's time you chase the presence of God. In 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 6, please. Today is a celebration of one of the feasts. It's called the Feast of First Fruits. It's also known as Resurrection Day. It's one of the first three feasts that Jesus fulfilled. He filled Passover, Unleavened, and First Fruits. And in verse 6, would you read it with me, please? This is he who came by water and what? Blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. I want to talk about the blood and the water because it's important. Remember, Jesus came into this reality by water and blood. Amen? If you recall, when Jesus was on the cross, the soldier came up and pierced Jesus in the side. What came out? Water and blood. It is the same side that the Lord put Adam to sleep and took the rib out, because that was the woman who came from that rib. Now the bride of Christ came out from the same side, where Jesus was pierced through the blood and water poured out. That was the birth of the church. Oh, hallelujah. They bear witness of Creator to creation as one that agree in this, in the eternal realm and in the temporary reality realm. To those who follow, who submit, who obey, they have the witness within them. Amen? They have the witness where? Within them. Look at, go to verse 9. Oh, hallelujah. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe, which means follow, does not have him and is a liar, because he has not believed or followed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Again, there is a difference between someone who says they believe in someone who says they follow. Amen. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Again, these were the three that bear witness, even though they are one, of Creator to creation, as one that agree in the true reality realm. And we who follow and submit and obey, we have the witness within us. We know. In the Gospel of John 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. That's really simple. Nothing was made without Jesus. Amen. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So they didn't get it. In verse 10, he was in the world. He came into the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own creation, and they rejected him. They didn't receive him. And his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Again, he came, but he was rejected by man of his creation, by many of his creation. But many received him, and they became his offspring, living in this reality world, but not of it, so that they might fulfill his purpose. Remember, we live to fulfill his purpose. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, please. Many did not receive Jesus because they were bound by religion. They were bound by the law. They were living by works, not by relationship. Ephesians 2 verse 1. Let's speak it. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the what? The air. The spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. It's a spirit. It means it's unseen. Amen. It's a breath that speaks. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind or the thoughts, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By his plan, which is grace, you've been saved. And raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by this plan, or grace, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Again, by his blood and by his word, which is the what we call water. The Bible says, wash yourself with the word. Amen? So the water brings cleansing, but the blood brings removal of sin. And by his blood and by his word, there was a plan of grace. We have been saved from the lake of fire in hell. One of the things that really hindrances the body of Christ and those who want to do the right thing is the spirit of compromise. The spirit of compromise. And the reason why the spirit of compromise comes in is because they've not maintained a routine. Does everybody get it? If you maintain that routine, you're disciplined. You know that that routine is life-changing. And without the routine, there won't be life. Amen? Does everybody get it? Maintaining that routine will maintain your relationship with the Lord. Because you're disciplined. And that's where disciple comes from. Discipline. Amen? So what happens is every one of us has always wanted to be free, but we've never had a routine to maintain freedom. You know, when you join the military, they teach you a routine. It's to maintain course and ranks. And its purpose is to become like-minded. And that's Paul's desire. That's what Jesus' desire, that we think the way he thinks, that we see what he sees. It's the greatest joy of a father or a mother. To see that their children think the way they, not heathen ones, okay, but righteous ones. It's the greatest joy of Jesus, that we see the way he sees, hears the way he hears, and speaks what he speaks. that we agree with what he agrees with and disagree with what he disagrees with. Amen? That's his desire. But again, when there is not a routine maintained, compromise will step in. It's always knocking at the door of that routine. Compromise knocks at that door. Boom, boom, every day. Come on, you don't have to do this. You can skip this. You can. Does everybody get it? You hear that every day, every time you get ready to go into prayer. Mr. and Mrs. Compromise show up. What are they trying to do? Birth. They're trying to birth. Amen? They bring justification, reasoning, and blame. Well, somebody else is doing it. Why ain't I doing it? You know, you hear that voice. Compromise can destroy us. But if you maintain that routine, you'll overcome compromise. You know? Because he always tries to redirect what we see, the enemy. And compromise, keeping a routine will keep you focused. And meditation means focused. When you begin to compromise one thing, you begin to compromise other things. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of God, the good things to come, with the greatest and the more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained an eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Oh, happy days. The blood cleanses our conscience from dead works so that we are able to turn to the living God. Amen? How many know God speaks through your conscience? So the enemy likes to try to sear your conscience. Amen? He'll badge you, compromise you, and beat you until you eventually get to a place where you sear your conscience, if you let him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are we in the last times? Yeah. In this you greatly rejoice, though even now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved or challenged by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith or of who you really are, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory to the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet you believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Hallelujah. Restored to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, the enemy attacks with fear and then tries to nullify your faith. Fear will also, see, when people begin to compromise, it also begins to promote doubt. It will promote fear. And then that will nullify faith. Then they begin to try to figure things out and work things out in themselves. They won't seek the things of Christ. They won't seek counsel of Christ. You know, it's the same thing in the world. Many people run to the doctor before they run to Christ. Amen? If we go to the Lord first in everything, that's why the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things will be added. Because you'll find out that the doctors are giving you some things that are killing you anyways. And they're not going to make things better. They're just trying to use you and squeeze you out so they get all the money they can and share it with the pharmaceutical companies. Majority of the time. I'm telling you, people are living today by a pill, not by the presence of God. They're living by a pill. It's incredible. I mean, don't get me wrong. The vitamins and stuff, I mean, I promote everyone to take supplements and encourage and strengthen your body, especially all the stuff that we've done in our lives and eating. We got some healing to do, man. We got some restoring to do. But, you know, if you keep feeding yourself with poisons, you're going to become poisonous. Now that we're finding out they're putting poison in everything. I mean, it's like, man, you might as well not even eat. But we got to. They got arsenic in everything. They're poisoning the water. They're trying to kill as many people as they can. Again, if you see those poor people that have been taken by addiction on the streets in these democratic run places, dying out there, it's just incredible to me. It's devastating. And it's like they're just turning their eyes. They walk by like this, not wanting to look or help. They're dying. Now they've got diseases that eat the skin. People are losing their limbs out there because the disease is eating up their skin and their bones. But they can't stop using. They need divine intervention and divine prayer. They need total freedom detox facilities with blood cleansing machinery for detox. Amen. Bring it on, Jesus. Glory. We'll go. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4, please. Verse 7. Let's speak. But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, God's plan has a specific plan for every one of us. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he what? He also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. In other words, is hell. That's called fulfilling the feast of unleavened, because leaven means evil, so he had to go into hell to destroy evil. He who has descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? So they could fulfill his purpose. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointing of Christ, that we should no longer be children, ignorant, deceived, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That we should become what? Disciplined with a routine. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Very powerful. You know, there is going to be more and more release of great deception. Jesus warned us. He said, look, if they say that I've come, don't go there. Don't go in the desert. Don't go here. Don't go there. The kingdom of God has not come except for through him and through us now. Amen? He said, because the kingdom of God is within us. Listen, they're preparing. If you really see through the dotted lines of what they're doing. See, now they're promoting alien aircraft. Now they're bringing up stuff. Well, you remember the word talks about the image of the beast, which is actually AI. You know, it will become alive. There's going to be something that's going to happen in a global event that is going to freak people out. And it might be an area where it's a false or what they call an invasion of aliens. Amen? And in this, they're preparing for all of this. They've got all of this stuff lined up. They're planting seeds constantly. Why? To draw people away from Christ. That's everything their purpose is. The powers of darkness is to draw people away from Christ so they trust in themselves and then trust in everything else besides Christ. But we know aliens are nothing but fallen angels. And if they are our aliens from other planets, they ain't got no power against the blood of Christ. Amen? So, again, it doesn't matter, but we're not to follow those things nor be hindered by them. You know, I used to watch The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original one, and I probably saw it 100 times. When I was a young kid, I'd watch it from underneath my seat. How they Larry, how are they done? You know, but it was such an to me, it was such an exciting thing that there'd be a visitation from the other planets. You know, God even talks about his flock from another fold. You know, how do we know? We don't know, and we don't need to know all that. That's all we need to know is Christ crucified, the blood of Christ has saved me and you, what the price Jesus paid for me and you. And listen, I don't care if the world is square, round. I mean, there's such debate on it. Who cares? You know what you need to know? Whether there's hell or heaven. And I doubt it's round. One's awesome and beautiful, or one's hot and burning. How about that? You know? But again, it doesn't matter. But the enemy will come and bring that compromise. And that compromise will begin to, a little leaven, leaven's a what? Whole lump. I know how many people have been here, been trying to stay away from certain things, even in foods and whatever. And I mean, the enemy's trying to compromise that. Oh, remember how good that used to be? Or whatever it was. Or that whatever it may be. Certain things that has grabbed our desire. He knows what grabs your desire. So that's why we must exchange our desires for the desires of the Lord. Lord, I exchange my desires for your desires. Amen? I'll never forget when we were going to have a baby. I mean, I wasn't going to have the baby, but, you know. We were having a child. And everybody said, do you know it's a girl or a boy? I said, I don't know. I don't want to know. Was there a desire? Yes, but I had to remove it all the time. Because I know my father knows what's best for me. It used to be a show, Father Knows Best or Daddy Knows Best or something. Most of you people wouldn't know that show. It's an old one. Anyways, but the Lord knows what's best for us. If we'll just allow him to make that choice for us. Amen. We won't go through so much stuff we go through. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to what? Rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man came, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his plan and his grace, we should become what? Heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain a routine. This is basically what he's saying. What, maintain what? Good works. Maintain a routine. Amen? These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid what? Foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject the device of man after the first and second admonishment, knowing that what? Such a person is an idiot, is warped, and sinning, being self-condemned. Whoa. Our washing, we've been washed in regeneration by the Holy Spirit through the blood and through the word or the anointing. Amen. Romans 6. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his what? Death. Again, there's the baptism, amen? There's two baptisms of the Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit, which you get a new language and everything, power. And then there's a baptism of cleansing or the washing of the blood. It's symbolic, amen? So when someone is baptized in water, it's symbolic, but also represents the washing of the blood of Christ, amen? Therefore, we who were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been free from sin. Died to what? Yourself. Now this, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives for God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be what? Dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its what? Lust or desires. Do not present your members as instruments of righteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under God's plan of escape. Amen. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs. carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. So God allowed this affliction on his own son. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. There's a place of exchange. And by his stripes we are what? Healed. So those stripes are a representation of his whippings, which released blood. Released what? Blood. Blood and water even came out of his whippings, which represents any sickness, disease, or anything that can happen, plagues or pestilence. And by his stripes we're healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned away everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from among the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was stricken. He was stricken. And they made his grave with the what? Wicked. But with the rich at his death, because he had not done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put on him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. We are now his seeds. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. And by his stripes through the blood, we are healed. Everything was associated with this of blood. The blood all the way to the cross, and from the cross all the way into the grave. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And how do you bless the Lord? Worship, praise. Amen. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Oh, he's got wonderful benefits. Who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction and crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things, that our youth is renewed like the eagles. It's my favorite part there. Hallelujah. See, you know how many people don't know this? They don't know that. They don't know this promise. They don't know it. They don't proclaim it. And they run to doctors instead of standing on this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling everybody not to go to a doctor if you need to. God's anointed some of them. There isn't too many that are anointed by him, though, I got to tell you. You want to go to one that's a good doctor? The first thing he's going to do is pray for you. He's an anointed doctor. I remember somebody, I went to this doctor one time because I was having so much trouble. First thing he did was lay his hands on my feet, began to pray for me, and wept. Thank you, Jesus. And God used that man to bring health to this temple. From that day on, my life changed. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Let's go a little further here. Verse 6. The Lord does what? Executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, the acts and his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to what we've done. Thank you, Jesus. Our sins. nor punish us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. Those who what? Fear him, reverence, honor, and respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are what? Dust. Oh, yes. The benefits. Don't forget. Don't forget them. Now I'm going to close at 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. He writes, your glorying is not good. You do not know that a little leaven leavens a whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sanctified for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world, out to the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reveler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are outside or inside? Inside what? Inside the kingdom. But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from you the what? Evil persons. See, we're fruit inspectors. Amen? When people say, quit judging me, I'm not judging a person, I'm judging their fruit. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit, by their desires, by their words, by their responses, or by their actions. You'll know them. See, when somebody's truly been washed by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit of God, and walking in the reverence and fear of Christ, in the reverence and honor and respect of the Lord, there's a place where they have relationship with the Lord. And we maintain a routine, not because we're afraid of going to hell. Amen. We maintain a routine to overcome the enemy so that we can please the Lord and fulfill his purpose. Jesus was a true example of everything. Amen. In prayer, in relationship, always giving glory to the Father. Even when he knew everything that was going to happen, can you imagine that? Knowing everything that's going to happen and still having to do it. Knowing the pain, the suffering, the rejection. When his own disciples left him and they denied. You know, but he knew. Because he knows the end from the beginning. See, that's where you and I must live from the end. That means living from eternity, living from heaven. Living from where? The future. We live from the future to the present, everything changes. But if you don't know what the future holds, how can you live from the future? This is where the world is deceived. They only know me, myself, and I, and now. Amen? But we're not of that. That's why we have the patience to endure. That's why we can see all things through. And that's why when the world is getting crazy, we're not. Which will separate us. We'll continue to be the light higher and higher and ever. Things are going to get worse. But again, there'll be a parallel of that. There'll be a glorious time and chaos time. Amen? I know it sounds strange, but it's going to be that way. So we're just getting ready. Amen? and we give glory and honor to the Lord, and waiting for the next feast to be fulfilled.
Praise God.
So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the spirit. We thank you for everything you've done. We ask that you see what you've taught us today to bring to remembrance and prepare our hearts for communion in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.